One of my favorite places to be is in the Redwoods down in California. Raise your hand if you've been down there ever in the Redwoods. If you haven't done that, you should put that on the bucket list and go to the place where there's the Cathedral of Trees. But these trees are massive, and they're way older than us. They're just wonderful creatures. And when you go there and you look and you surround yourself and you see, you just know who you are. And it just grounds you. And so the definition I came up with as I was thinking about that place, about faith. Because Jesus talked about the centurion as having faith, unlike anything he had seen. So this is the kind of faith that I think this centurion had, that Jesus was talking about. And I think about it as I'm sitting in those trees. A deeply grounded, mysterious, mystical, and I would add in this context today, crazy connection. A deeply grounded, mysterious, mystical connection that faith in Jesus' words brings. That's what this guy had, this centurion. A deeply grounded, mysterious, mystical, crazy connection in his faith, in Jesus' word. In Jesus' word that brings life and that brought healing in that story. Now, a couple days ago I was sitting in our Walmart parking lot, and if you don't shop at Walmart, that's okay, but I'm in Aberdeen, you just have no choice, and I'm sitting there, and the train comes, and if a train comes and you're in the Walmart parking lot, you better just go to the McDonald's, because you're going to be there for 15 minutes. That's just how it is. The trains are slow, and they deliver paper products and other things, and if you live in Grays Harbor, you know, you have to deal with paper products, because that's part of the way it is, and they have different understandings about trees in Grays Harbor. In fact, I saw a bumper sticker that said, hug a logger and you'll never go back to a tree. That's the first time I saw that in 10 years there. You know, I was thinking about that, and you know, we at Amazing Grace, the church we were at before, we used paper products that were local, and they were recycled paper products from Grays Harbor Paper, and it was free, you know, and in some ways, it's kind of like this centurion. This centurion most likely was a God-fearer. That is, he was a person deep in faith who understood there's this one God, not multiple gods, monotheism, one God, and the way that at least the Jews did things, good ethics. So this guy liked that, but didn't quite go all the way to be circumcised because he was a Gentile. So a God-fearer, that's a term that biblical scholars use to describe a person like the centurion. So, in fact, he liked this place so much, like it says, he built the synagogue for him. A good person who's faithful, uses his resources well. So that's who this person is of faith. Once again, deeply grounded, mysterious, mystical, connecting faith. Now, in this Gospel of Luke, there are four L's. And David, what are those four L's?
The lost, the least, the little, and the last.
The lost, the least, the little, and the last. He told me that before, so I knew he'd get that answer right. I was hoping he'd get that answer right. And I can always remember three, but the lost, the least, the last, and the little, and the little. So that's what this slave was. You could pick whichever L, but I'm going to say little, because I'm going to relate it to a story very similar to this gospel story. And it's the story of when Pastor Beth and myself, and is Gail, where's Gail? I saw Gail here earlier. Gail and Vicky and Joe, the five of us went over to Mountain View. Because they had an assembly, and if you've ever been to an elementary school assembly, you know how those things can be something to sit through if you ever have been a parent or a grandparent or, a niece or nephew gets an award, and, you know, it's all good. So, but they recognized our contribution to them. So we started off with a nice big barbecue, which, thank God for the PTA, because they gave ice cream sandwiches as a special bonus. So Our kid guides that we were with, who were guiding us through the school and for the day, I told them, let's eat these sandwiches first before they melt. So that was good to start off with, the ice cream sandwiches. And then I got flashbacks to the wonderful, caring, cook who slapped my hamburger right on my bun right there, and she just kept slapping away. It was good to be back in school in some ways. So we're sitting in this assembly, and the more I think about this connection, it's quite amazing. Here's Kurt Hatch, who's the principal, kind of like the centurion, kind of could be sort of a God-fearer kind of person. I know he's a faithful person, so he is a faithful person. But here we are in this school, St. Mark, going across the street. And so we're in this assembly, and there's some other folks, and then it comes to say thank you for St. Mark. And the big check, thank you very much for $11,000+ was shown. And, you know, the kids all, here we have kindergarten through third grade, 300 kids sitting on the gym floor. Very polite, surprisingly polite for that many kids for so long. And, the tears started to well in his eyes and the staff. And, there was an enemy of Sterling Bank, but they had been recognized for giving $500, but we had a couple more dollars. So, I mean, now I'm not boasting. I'm just saying those are the facts. Those are just the facts. Nothing against Sterling Bank. Thank God for them for being generous to the school. So we're standing there, and he says thank you, and then he starts clapping, and then the kids start clapping, and it gets louder and louder, and all the parents who were present all stand up and start clapping. It was a beautiful thing to see this connection, and just this thanks for this gift, and thank you for this gift. I wish we could have videotaped it, or you could have been there. It was so nice, because you don't always, what you do, you don't always get that response like that. It was a wonderful thing. So thank St. Mark, thank us for doing that. It's a great thing. But that wasn't it. Then they had some posters. Three different posters that we'll put these up for the next couple weeks up on the wall there. Beth, can you help me for a second? Three different posters made by the loving kids. Thank you, St. Mark, from second grade. We'll flash it over there a little bit. So we got that one right there. And look at all those hands. All of those hands. And there were that many hands sitting there, I can tell you. And then this one is from, this is another thank you from, with a tree with all the names of the kids there. Thank you, St. Mark. And then this next one. What's that? Another one here with all these flowers. Thank you for helping us grow. Thank you for helping us grow. So that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So let me see that hand one for a second. Sorry, Beth. Which brings us back. I'll get back to that in a second. I want to give. The definition is the deeply grounded, mysterious, mystical connection that faith in Jesus' words bring. Just say the word. That's what the centurion said. And in all of Jesus' gospel, it's in the beginning, in the beginning of our reading here, it said, right after he said these words, you're not going to want to hear these words, but I'm just going to tell you what the words are. These are some of the words he said. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? If you lend, what credit is that? But love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing. Your reward will be great in heaven. Do not judge, lest you be judged. Forgive. The tougher stuff. But what he was really saying is, do the word. That's the bottom line for Jesus. And doing the word means love. It's just, that's the four-letter word, love. It's about love. That's what we did in this gift offering. And what I want to suggest is a way that, next, from Mountain View, the reason why I say this is, I never said why I was sitting at the train, because as I was at the train, waiting, the goodwill is there. So I got this $2 book. 10 Great Preachers, Messages and Interviews. And Well, I was going to tell a joke, but Beth told 50 of them. So, and I suck at jokes, so I'm not going to tell a joke. But the first preacher is Tony Campolo. Have you ever heard of him? He'll himself admit this. He's an Italian-American, sweaty, passionate guy. And so that's why I like him, because whenever I start to sweat, I just think, hey, Tony Campolo does it, so it's no problem. I'm not Tony Campolo, but I sweat like him sometimes. So this is what he says about faith. To be a person of faith means three things. You're rooted in the past. You are transformed in the present, or at least are in the process of being transformed. And you have a glorious vision of the future. That's it right there. You're rooted in the past. You are transformed in the present. And you have a glorious vision of the future. And that's how you live out love. That's how you become the Word. You have that glorious vision. And I know people in here, I'm going to just lift up a couple of people who have vision. Just recently, and they're women, because you don't want to mess with women. I think Betty Rose has a glorious vision of the future, because when I was down at the food bank, she worked way harder than me, and I think she's older than me. So that's pretty awesome and pretty amazing. But passionate. Just like that centurion, working great, and does it, and is love. And that's how you are love. I think of, so we have that local context. I think of Mary here. You know, I don't know if you've heard of this deal called Safi. Anyway, but the point is, across the globe, same idea. Be the love. Be the love. And call on Jesus, just say the word Jesus, and then be the love. And then I lift up today, Beth did it, but I get to do it too. I lift up Jacob, Kirsten, and John, and I had to figure out where Kaylee was over here, but I... and Kaylee. I lift them up because, as you've been experienced and know, being the word means sometimes song, and frequently, and we love it, song here. And it's a good thing. So thank you, and thank you, and thank you, and thank you. Now, Tony Campolo, I hate reading books because they just make me think about stuff, but this is what he says in the beginning of his sermon. So this is the Campolo challenge, and then we're done. Well, I don't know if we're done, but I'm going to be done talking. I don't know what else is going to happen. the challenge, he said, he started in his sermon, now before anything happens, I need your name and your address, all of you. Because I'm preaching today, but I got this thing going, he said. In schools, there are kids that don't make it. You know, you just know that no matter what, they're just not going to make it. They're going to end up going to jail. They're going to quit. The students just don't make it because of context. You know, they just have a horrible context. So what we're going to do, he said, is I'm going to get your names and number, and you're going to commit $25. You did a lot of math, Ruth, so I can't keep up with you. But he said $25 a month, and we're going to put all that money and focus on these kids in this school in New Jersey. And we're going to surround them and nurture them with love. And we're going to try and lift them out and lift them out of not making it to maybe making it with us. We're going to love them. So in the same way, there's 800 students over there. There's 800 students over there. So whoever, and they'll know, the school will know, whoever, whatever hands right here, you know, there's a couple hundred hands here. Some of those hands are the kids that are number 795, 796, 797, 798, 799, 800. Those are the top five students that probably aren't going to make it. Those hands are on here right now. You see their hands. You see their hands on this poster. And I was over there. And their name may be John, or it may be Juan, or it may be Hong, or some other really cool names that I heard. There's lots of cool names out there, not just Eric. Knock, knock, who's there? Eric. Eric who? Earache. That's all I ever heard growing up. And see, that's not even a good knock, knock joke. That's why I suck at jokes. But here are these hands. So, again, as we think about our 1,000 hours, of what we're going to do over there, Maybe that's one of the things we do. Maybe we pick a kid, or they pick a kid for us. Or five kids. Or two. What, it doesn't matter what the number, but we'll just start with one of the 800 kids who they know they're not going to make it. But with St. Mark, where we embrace them and we do the love that's deeply grounded and mysterious and mystical and crazy kind of love that we do here. Imagine that. Lifting someone out, that 800th person, and putting them, hey, maybe in the top 10%. Wouldn't that be something? That's the glorious vision. That's what Jesus talked about when he talked about the faith of this centurion. And I know for all of us, there is so much more glory to come at St. Mark. And I give thanks to God. Amen. Now, as a little audible, if you're a football person, usually we were going to sing next, Lord, whose love and humble service. A fantastic song. Great words. We're going to sing that during the gathering of the gifts. Right now, what I want you to do is turn to the gathering of gifts and look at, we are your people, O Lord. And really listen to these words, because this is the fight song for love. This is the fight song right here. So just listen to this. It's a powerful song and relates to what Jesus was talking about.